T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Traded that deal to the Yankees, who picked up a portion of it, right?
Right, and then he ended up signing another deal of the same amount with the Yankees.
So the first one was probably worth it, I have to imagine.
And but you're going back now 25 or so years
exactly
to get to that point.
The outlier contract, the one where it had never happened before.
So if you're a team in the Bryce Harper sweepstakes and the Giants are maybe the team trying to be Johnny on the spot, maybe you say, hey, look, it's $3 and $100 million with the third year as a player option. So you give them 32, then you give them 34, and then there's an option that he can have for 34 for that third year, because 2021 is the big year of the possible lockout. So he goes through the next 2 years, and by then we should know whether or not baseball's looking at a long shutdown. And so Bryce Harper would get big money in 19, big money in 20, and then going into 21, which is about the lockout time, he can make a decision, opt in or opt out, and it may not even matter if there's no baseball anyway.
2 years, $80 million. Giants, Bryce Harper. Who says no?
No, they ain't going to make that happen. They won't, Joe.
Does Harper say yes?
Harper says yes.
It's a 2 year deal.
He says yes tomorrow. Yes, he would love to get 2 year, $40 million.
But a freak accident, all those years on the back end that are guaranteed. See ya. $80 million pittance.
Think about what you're saying. $80 million in 2 years, guaranteed. That's hard freaking. He understands. He wished that $300 million was out there and it's guaranteed baseball. We get it. Teams, like you said, they're wising up. He can't get $40 million. If he told any team, hey, I'm giving my service 2 years, $40 million, not going to happen. Wrong. It's a hard pass. The most he's going to get with a 2 year, 3 year deal, the most is $30 million. The most he's going to get is $30 million a year. The most.
So you think if he's going to take a short-term deal, a 2 year deal, it's going to be $30 million, but 2 years, $60
million? Yes.
And I find a hard time believing that.
Joe, it's not there. The market's not there.
The long-term money isn't there. The short-term money is something that they've probably been pursuing, but that's not their first choice. Ideally, a 10-year deal worth $400 million is what you want, because that's $400 million guaranteed. There you go. Your life is set. You never have to worry about this again. Injury, be damned, you're taken care of. 2 years, there's risk. Maybe they've pursued some of it, but I don't think they've been as diligent with that.
Yeah, it's just going to be hard for a team to give a guy $300 million. And we talked about this guy a couple years back, that he's going to be the first $500 million guy.
Yeah.
But then baseball started to change.
That's going to need a funeral take. I remember sending that email out being like, hey, maybe we could discuss this.
Yeah, hit the music. Yeah, you did say that, Joe. I can't wait to funeralize you. Anyway.
That's not how that works. You got to put in a little bit of effort to set up the funeral.
I was totally kidding, Joe. We talked about just this guy getting $500 million.
Yeah, he backed off that point, yeah.
Because it was a drive-by. You can't do that.
I'm not even sharp today. I'm off vacation. I'm off load management. I'm back. You want nothing. You got nothing for me today. You're just straight shook.
Man.
Complimenting the 76ers all morning. Even though they boated.
The one day he's vulnerable. And you're going to let him off the hook like that?
It's not even off the hook.
You're done. Gone soft.
You know what?
Tell me what.
It wasn't even about that. It was a simple fact that you guys are saying maybe a 2 year, $80 million. I'm telling you, baseball's not going to give the guy.
Why did
that.
The Giants not do that? If you could have 2 years of Bryce Harper when you are going to be lousy, they had their players at FanFest begging the team to go out there and sign more talent. They're all aware of the fact that they're going to be lousy. They know it. They know it. They're not idiots. They know the division they're in. And while Arizona suddenly decided to do an about face on their chase, Colorado will be decent. San Diego, if they land either Harper or Machado, they end up being a factor. They've been quietly building, although I don't know how solid they'll be. And the Dodgers will be the Dodgers. They'll threaten 90 wins, and they're probably winning the division.
Look at San Diego. Let's stay there. Let's go with the Padres. Padres is a team that was thought after to be going after Bryce Harper. All of a sudden, they looked at it and said, yeah, we can get him. He's going to put some butts in the seat, but is it worth that much? No. There's a lot of teams that would have been all over this guy. You know it, and I know it. But because of the fact, the way that the market's dried up and the way that it's changed, baseball said they're no longer going to give these guys a 10-year deal, take guys at 36, 38 years old, and they're on the downside. Baseball got it. They're saying, no, we're not doing it anymore. They need to switch the way that it works. baseball want to get it right, Joe. They got to make some changes, Daniel, and you know it. We talked about it last week. Actually, we had the great, I forget who it was, on the show, and I told him he's the best.
Could have been that great.
No. I forgot his name. You know, sometimes my memory forgets, you know, lets me down. And I told him, I said, should baseball change? Should baseball change? And he said, absolutely, Lo. Great question. They should change. Why are you paying these guys later when you should maybe think, okay, after 2 years, 3 years, then do these long-term deals? Because like football knew that they had it wrong. There was the rookie pool giving these guys too much money, Joe. Spread Sam Bradford $100 million coming out of college, $75 million. And the veterans said, no, you shouldn't do this. And now what they do, they got the rookie pool down. They got it corrected. And now after you've proven yourself, you get paid. Baseball needs to go in that same direction. How they have it set up, the system's broke. And
baseball's union is a lot tougher than the football union.
I know.
Football's union is the weakest of the unions.
Yeah.
Case in point, the it lack is. Of guarantees. In the
too many members, not enough consensus with football. You know, you're talking about 50 guys per team times 32. That's 1,600 members. You can't agree on what to have for lunch with that large of a populace.
So you're telling me right now, Bryce Harper says yes, 2 years, $80 million. You're telling me the Giants say no. This is the ultimate deodorant to cover up the stink that'll be the next 2 years. You hang his banner all over that stadium. People stop talking about whether or not you're going to trade Madison Bumgarner. And you roll into that stadium and everyone's suddenly excited about the new toy. You'll sell tickets. People will be showing up. Everyone's going to want to go see him live at least once, even if the team isn't doing well.
$40 million a year, though, for a guy, Joe, that maybe
going to
hit.
How many jerseys? Let's think of it like this. How many jerseys does he sell? How many tickets does he sell? You don't have to answer now because obviously that's a question that would require
8,422.
But here's the thing that I want you to realize. It's going to be predicated on what he does his first year. Because if he comes out and he only hits 25 home runs or 20 home runs the first year, jersey sale goes down, ticket sales goes down. That's why I'm not necessarily. You understand what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I get where
But then you're out of it. It's a 2 year deal. And then you can get out of it if he's not playing well after one more year and boom. Hey,
that's why the number's 30, and it won't be much more.
I don't think he takes that, though.
Then he's got what he's going to do. What is he going to do? He wants to sit home? Let's go try to make
it. Great head of hair. Maybe he gets a, you know, shampoo.
And 40 might work. When the Giants, before they signed Barry Bonds, they drew 1.56 million fans. Yeah. The year after, the first year of Bonds, they drew 2.6 million.
Give me the difference on that. What's the difference?
The difference is basically 1.05 million fans. So a million fans.
One million times, what do they spend at the park now? What would a fan spend at the park between the tickets and the beer and concessions? One fan, the average is a little over 100, right?
Yeah,
120.
Yeah, 120 is good.
Right, let's just say 75. Let's say they spend $75. An extra million people times $75, $75 million contract paid for in 1 year. 2 year, $80 million paid for in 1 year. And we didn't even factor in jerseys. We didn't factor in much of anything. You take the tickets and concessions, $75 a person. And I did a study on this in Philadelphia like 10 years ago. I think it comes out to like 130 a person.
And granted,
paid for.
The 93 team did win 103 games, which was part of the attendance increase. But even if you cut that in half and take half a million fan increase times 75, you're still looking at close to his entire contract still
you
in
caught
1 year.
Barry Bonds on the upswing. You're catching this guy. His numbers is down the last 2 years. If you look at
he's
Harper,
26. You can still sell that. You can say, hey,
numbers,
this park
Joe.
Is going to be great.
Let's stay with your numbers, Joe. You're the numbers guy.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to turn over the numbers. We're going to do some numbers, and we're going to turn over to people. The number that you need to know is 888-957-9570. 2 years, $80 million for Bryce Harper. Who says no? Giant fans, would you do that today? 888-957-9570. We've got John Morosi at 8:30 to answer that question. Kalena's going to be in at 9 o'clock.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
John Morosi, MLB insider extraordinaire, set to join us in about 12 minutes to talk Bryce Harper, the Giants, and the plausibility of the two coming together to form what could be a brilliant union for Bay Area baseball fans. Joe Lowendibs, 95.7 The Game. Kalena Azubuki going to join us in studio in 42 minutes for a full hour. You never want to miss it. Good chance Lo attacks him right out of the gate, which is what he's done in the past.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Are you planning that today? Or are you going to try to spring a trap for him? What are you thinking?
Joe, you know I'm going to spring a trap on Kalena. I'll walk him into the lion's den and then I'll bite his head off.
Speaking of springing a trap, Yeah, you walked right into that.
The thing about it, it shouldn't have been. Joe's going over the show, saying what's coming up and what we're talking about, the Bryce Harper, and he's going through the stuff, welcoming people back, and for you to blow the flag,
I think
it's immature.
You rendered him as a liar.
And throw the whistle.
Right.
You rendered him as a liar, because when he intros it, it's Joe, Lowe, and Dibs, and Lowe's nowhere to be seen. So really, it should have been Joe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Only the Lord knows where Lowe is right now.
And I hate to pile on, but based on that voodoo logic, when you start talking, that means it's completely acceptable for me to just leave the room, right? Anyway, right?
Yeah, but we're on to Cincinnati.
2 years, $80 million. Bryce Harper and the Giants. Who says no? Who says no to 2 years, $80 million? Harper obviously wants the long-term deal with as much money as possible because it's fully guaranteed. But if it's not out there, at 26 years of age, okay, 2 years, $80 million, then I re-enter the market at the age of 28. I can probably go out and get a six-year deal then for a ton of money as well. Add that to the $80 million you're making these last 2 years, put the whole thing together, suddenly it's an eight-year deal. You never know. You never know. The Giants are going to stink. I know that's tough to hear, but they are going to stink. Give me a good reason why not. I have no problem waiting for it. But by every projection, looking at that roster, hell, even they were at FanFest telling everybody they want the team to go out and sign more talent. They know they're in trouble. And that's fine. It's understandable. Teams cannot win at a high rate every single year. They had their run. This is the end of it. Now they got to figure out the next direction. But if they're going to stink, the ultimate deodorant of bringing in Bryce Harper for 2 years just to keep people excited could be something worth pondering. 2 years at $80 million. Is that too much for the Giants to give up? There's something called the fan cost index. All right. This came out last year. Now, what this is the average price for a family of four. Ticket prices, two small draft beers, four small soft drinks, four regular size hot dogs, parking for 1 hour, two game programs, and at least two expensive adult size adjustable caps, right? That's the fan index. You put that together for a family of four, and the Giants last season, average price for that family of four, $272. That was the fourth most expensive in baseball. Could anyone name the three teams that were more expensive? Just to have a fun little trivia question.
For Yankees.
Yeah, the Dodgers.
No, Dibs. Oh,
Reds,
no.
Boston.
Give Lowe Lowe two dings.
Boston, Yankees.
And the Yankees, but give yourself a buzzer.
Yeah,
sorry. No.
Maybe you should leave and come back in and be on fire.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Normally.
You want to go try to get one?
No,
I got two.
Normally,
I didn't realize Lowe was the baseball expert of the program, but it certainly seems like it right now.
Yeah. Normally, a gentleman's thing would
Dodgers
be to take
too,
turns, you know. You're going to guess the Dodgers
Giants.
Now?
No, I said the Giants. I meant to say the Giants.
I already
three.
Told you they were four.
So that's three. And all I'm doing is... I'm sorry. What I was trying to say is...
No, I left already, so go ahead.
I'm trying to say is, I named two, you had named one, so that's three. So I'm just leaving the one for Mr. Daniel Dibbles.
Or Anna, anyone who wants to.
Unfortunately,
just
I left
bring an
the
end
room,
to whatever
so.
This is.
Yeah, go ahead.
The answer would be the team that finished number one. Shouldn't really be that hard. It's the
Chicago
Cubs.
I was going to go Chicago.
Yeah, but which one? The White Sox or the Cubs?
Yeah.
I was going to go Cubs. And then after that, I was going to say, after the number five would probably be Houston. So just if you want to make
it. No. Yeah, you got to buzz that one. Geez. Sorry. You want to go out on that list?
No.
Number five would be the Los Angeles Dodgers.
I was ridiculed for saying Dodgers, and yet you say Astros, and it's no punishment to you. So let's remember this next time you're hitting me with the woe is me, everyone picks on me.
But the test was only four. So it was already
but
over.
But then you turned the test to five. You got it wrong, and
you failed. Joe, it was not your
that.
Finest
don't
hour.
Do that.
Do
don't
what?
Do that.
You can't. Gotta quit while you're ahead.
Yep. You knew that was coming. She had an opportunity to jump in. She stayed out and waited.
Where have you been?
Anna goes 0 for 0 again. Oh. Another Jordan Bell box score for Kakarakis. Thank you, Sam.
Okay, so anyway, as this one got away from us predictably, the fan cost index, Major League Baseball teams in 2018. I laid out all the parameters, the hot dogs, the programs, the four tickets. Giants for a family of four. Fourth most expensive, $271 per game. Now, you divide that by four, it gives you about $67 per game, right? $67. If Bryce Harper would be worth a million additional fans over the course of a year, Multiply that by the $67, you got $67 million. Now, a million may be a bit optimistic. Maybe he doesn't draw in a million. But how many could he draw in? Realistically, how many people would he be worth? If you took, say, 3,000 people per game, and you multiplied that by 81 home games, you have an additional 243,000 people. You multiply that by the $67. That gives you about $16 million. $16 million without counting any jersey sales.
Right.
Right? Or anyone going over this by drinking, say, 10 beers. Because we know there are a few guys out there that'll drink 10 of those beers and really bring up that fan index. $16 million over 2 years, that's $32 million. You paid him $80 million to come in. All right. You're almost halfway to recovering that investment. And let's remember something. The Warriors are moving in next year. Do you really want to be in the cellar of the NL West behind the Padres with no pop and excitement whatsoever as the Warriors come in having won 4 titles in 5 years? Should they close the deal this year, as many of us are projecting? 2 years, $80 million, doesn't that seem like a drop in the bucket?
It's
for a guy like Larry Bird.
It's more than a drop in the bucket, but they have a bucket big enough to handle whatever that is, and it's more than a drop. It's probably a large glass or maybe a pitcher of water in the bucket, but you've got a gigantic bucket. And let's not go woe is me too much on the Giants, because they did draw 3.156 million fans last year.
Do we count that? I looked at that too, and I'm thinking to myself,
it's not about butts in the seats. If we're talking about $40 million a year, we're talking about the bottom line economics of the deal versus what they can recoup. And if you sell 3.156 million tickets, ultimately the money doesn't care if those people show up or not. Now, that being said, their attendance per game did go down for the third consecutive year. It's been pretty small increments, but the expectation for this year would be another drop in attendance. If your outfield is Slater, Williamson, and Duggar, apologies to those three young players, but they're not as sexy or attractive as Bryce Harper.
Well, and Joe, here's what you got to look at, too. Dibbs alluded to it's maybe not a drop in the bucket, but he said it's maybe a glass.
So, or a pitcher.
Or a pitcher. So if let's just use a pitcher, and if you're pouring a pitcher in there, how many pitchers are going to take to fill up a bucket? You take 2 to 3 or 4 pitchers, it's filled up. Look at Johnny Cueto. You look at Samardzija. I think those pitchers have already been put in there. So can you afford to put another pitcher? You know, you look at some of the guys, you look at some of the guys in Posey and the different guys that are now, you're still paying a pitcher amount. You're still pouring that pitcher into that bucket, so I think that your bucket is more full than we talk about far as financially. And is the ROI, the return on, you know, return on investment, that's the thing that we're trying to contemplate here, and that's why you're going over these different numbers. I just don't think it behooves this team to go $40 million a year. Now, I think that they're definitely wanting a date. I just don't think they're willing to commit to that type of money, that type of scratch. And you look around this, the MLB, there's not a lot of teams lining up in a line. Here's a guy that free agency, he's on the market. His phone's not just ringing off the hook. It goes to tell you that there's not the money out there that he thinks. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I think that you could look at it and say they can't afford not to bring him in, because you see that attendance is going down, and you look at this product right now without Bryce Harper, and what do you think of first? Will Madison Bumgarner be there after the trade deadline? Is Buster Posey washed with the hip injury? Can they get anything out of Evan Longoria versus how much he's being paid? Johnny Cueto is injured. Samardzija is a question mark. Crawford, Belt, and Panic. These guys are not playing at the peak of their ability, so you can't help but look at that product and think they need something to make it more attractive this year, because if you go as is this team opening day, you could see on June 1st they might be 15 games below 500. And then what happens to all those casual fans who otherwise might come out to see Bryce Harper? But if you've got a team without any of the frontline pitchers, maybe Bumgarner's on the block, who knows? All of a sudden, it becomes borderline unwatchable there.
The Yankees led Major League Baseball in home runs last year, 267, went to the playoffs. The Dodgers finished second. They were in the World Series. They hit 235.
Yeah.
Oakland finished third, believe it or not. They were in the playoffs as a wild card team. Milwaukee finished fourth. Cleveland finished 6th, Boston 9, Houston 10. You get where I'm going. Lots of home runs, helps you score runs, helps you win games, helps you get to the postseason. Your bottom 5 in home runs last year, Miami in 30th at 128. As a team, they hit 128. The Giants hit 133. They were second last. 5 more than the Marlins, who actively traded away every home run they had. I don't even know if they actually had any guys on the team that had ever hit a home run before last season. Detroit in 28th, Tampa in 27th. They threatened, at least. Kansas City in 26th. Is this team going to finish dead last in home runs this year? Think about that, because I was having a lunch, let's call it a liquid lunch, a couple weeks ago with Cody, our producer, and we came up with an idea. We want to put a home run tracker in here this year. How do you avoid finishing dead last? How do you avoid setting or not setting an MLB record for fewest home runs in a season? Because that was a serious conversation we were having. Is this team going to have any pop whatsoever? Who's the home run hitter on the team right now? Don't tell me Belt.
Don't say it. It's Brandon Belt. Coach, this is going to be the year he stays healthy.
Yeah, this is the year.
This is the year he's going to break out. And
Gloria.
He's going to get you. He's going to get you 18 this year, Coach. He's going to have a big year. He might get you 20.
We're putting a counter up here.
Okay, so
really expensive one too.
And here's your thing.
I'm sure you know a guy.
And you're talking about a guy. And you're talking about a guy in Harper. What is he going to do? Even if he's here now, and they go from being the second worst to the fifth worst. Is this not a home run friendly ballpark? Is he going to smash the ball here? So you look at where he's playing. Is that going to put undue pressure on this guy? And that's why I just don't know. I don't know if you can gonna even really help your home runs that much. He might hit 25.
Think of it like this. Think of it. Very realistic, by the way. All very realistic. Think of it like this. When you watch a Yankee game, how often does someone step up to the plate where you're thinking, all right, this one could be out of here? You got quite a few individuals coupled with a park that has a nice short porch in left, or excuse me, in right. So there's opportunity there. There are a lot of guys you're getting excited about. Who from the Giants steps up to the plate and you're thinking, honey, quiet. Could be a home run here. Could be a splash hit. Again, don't tell me Belt.
Joe Panic in April, Coach.
Yeah, Panic in games 1 and 2.
Wow.
Both 1 and 2.
You're right.
For Panic, it's not the Olympics. It's a 162-game season.
That's tough.
All right.
That's tough.
Let's bring in some realistic baseball conversation. To the phones, MLB insider for both Fox Sports and the MLB Network, 95.7 The Game contributor, our good friend John Morosi with us here on 95.7 The Game. John, thank you for coming on the program. We're trying to get to the bottom of this. The Giants, Bryce Harper, long-term deals versus short-term deals. What are you hearing in regards to the Harper sweepstakes? Because pitchers and catchers are reporting, John.
They are. And, of course, it's already happening for the Oakland Athletics. We know that much. Here's what I'm hearing, that the reports that are out there that say that the Giants would consider a shorter-term deal for Harper, I believe, based on my reporting, that is true. The question, of course, becomes how substantial would the offer have to be for Bryce to be willing to sign a shorter-term deal? Is 3 years, $100 million acceptable? I think that one thing that's happening here is actually two things. Number one, the general geographic preference for Harper to sign on the West Coast, to me, is becoming evident, because we've seen him now meet with the Giants and the Padres since the possibility of the Dodgers was basically taken away by the A.J. Pollock signing. And then the other part is, and this was brought up to me earlier in the offseason, and I wish I could recall the person who said it, because I think it's very true. Harper realizes that if he stays in the NL East but does not go to the Nationals, that he is basically running the risk of being booed all the time, because he'll still be booed by all the teams that used to didn't like him, of course, the Mets being one of them. And then if he leaves D.C., he'll be booed there. And if he gets off to a bad start in Philly, they'll boo him there too. A lot of boos. I think that the difference is there, if it's the West Coast, it's close to home, it's a fresh start. I think that if it ends up being a shorter-term deal for him with the Giants, I think if they can find a way to get it up to that 3 years and $100 million, 3 years and 110, and if it really is extraordinary, I think that is maybe the one scenario that I think could make some sense from the way that Farhan Zaidi evaluates free agents, and also the way that potentially a Harper could be looking at the marketplace and the options available to him.
How much does future labor difficulty play into not only his decision, but also the team's decision to maybe look to go shorter term as opposed to a longer term deal?
Well, it's an excellent point. And I think that we're seeing a lot right now. And actually, I had one agent in a different, very different context that I was speaking with in the last couple of weeks explain to me that his desire to get some upfront money was directly related to the uncertainty in labor relations for MLB. I think that is a consideration. It probably isn't the consideration, but I think you make a very good point that if it's that if you have a deal with maybe three very, very strong years to begin the deal, if you will, which is, of course, the number of years we've got left before the CBA expires, that becomes a very, very palatable and very appealing way to structure the deal from the player standpoint. You get all your money up front, and then maybe you have an opt-out after the third year, which, of course, would coincide with a new CBA. Potentially, if you think about it that way, if you're a strong believer in the union's perspective on this, or at least you're confident in the union negotiating a better deal for the future, then, hey, take the three best guaranteed years you can right now, become a free agent right when the CBA expires, and then you become a marquee free agent in the first year of a new overall regime of player movement and contracts. It's a credible way to think about things. I'm not sure that it's going to be the likeliest path, but I think if you're going to script a scenario for Harper to wind up with the Giants, it could look something like that. Totally break the bank for 3 years, and then a way for Scott Boras and Bryce. I think it's very important here too, after all the projections and thoughts of a $400 million deal or thereabouts. Hey, you can at least come out there and say, listen, I'm banking all the money that I can for the next 3 years, and then I get a chance to go back in the market when labor conditions will be better, we believe, for the players in 3 years' time. And then I have a much better chance to make my grandest fortune at that point in time.
John, if the commish asked you to sit down with them and brought the brass in, how would you fix baseball? If you look at football, what they used to do with the rookies, they would give them these enormous contracts, 70, 80 million these guys would get. And then it turned out that veterans were getting upset because these guys haven't proven themselves. They proved themselves in college, but not in the pros, and they were outweighing getting more than the veterans. Should baseball look to what the NFL has done to start rewarding these guys earlier, and then they don't catch these guys when they're 27 and 28 and giving them a 10-year deal, and they know the better years behind them, and so then the contracts look bad? Would that be something that baseball should do to try to correct this problem?
Well, Loa, it's a very good point, and I think it's something that the players' union wants to try to advocate for. Let's find a way to get the players rewarded more appropriately for the best years of their career, the premium years of their career. Because to your point, it is almost impossible now. If you are a college player, and Chris Bryant probably is the one potential outlier, or maybe he'll become a really interesting test case for this, to be a college player who signs your first pro contract at 21, and therefore by the time you work your way to the minor league, you might be 23 when you make your debut, even if you're rocketing through the minor leagues. And then you've got your 6 years of service, and if there's that little bit of April delay like you saw with Bryant, maybe you're not a free agent until you're 30 years old. Bear in mind, Bryant and Harper are basically the same age. They're from the same town, same age. Bryce graduated early and went to junior college for the year, and Bryant did the college route. And you're seeing the vast difference in the way that they're treated probably in free agency. So I think it's a very good point that you make. The one thought I have is you could find a way to make arbitration eligibility or free agency, if you want to call it restricted free agency, like what you see in the NBA or the NHL, you make that tied to the year in which you're drafted as opposed to your amount of service time at the major league level. That would speed everything up. That would probably put Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in the major leagues with Toronto last year, if it's all predicated on the year that you sign your contract. That's probably a bit of an extreme example and an extreme case of what the players would want, but something that rewards those years in a better way, I think, is better for the game because it results in a more exciting class of players arriving to the big leagues at an earlier time span. One other possibility, I had one GM mentioned to me recently, you could also just increase the major league minimum salary. That would in some way incentivize and certainly would reward players earlier in their careers, but also it would incentivize teams to sign free agents, because then those free agents are probably a little bit closer in ratio to what it would cost you to call up that player from the minor leagues, which I think would help keep some of these veteran free agents in the game a little bit longer and at a bit of a higher price point.
Interesting points, especially as it pertains to the possible expansion of the designated hitter into both leagues. It'll be fascinating to see how that gets resolved as well. John, do you think that more baseball players, seeing the way owners have shied away from the long-term deals might structure their contracts like the NBA players do with just the 1 year plus the 1 year player option. Will we see more of these player options and no trade clause type of things in contracts in baseball?
I think we could. That's another very good point about the way that things are getting set up. I think that it's obviously a different scenario because in baseball you've got the lack of a salary cap. And so for a long time there's been this, I think this desire to, hey, I'm going to get to free agency. I'm going to be an all-star. I'll get my 6 or 7 or 8 year deal and I'll be all set. That just really hasn't how it's been working lately. So I think we may see players either do one of two things. They either go the route you're describing, or they just become more likely to sign their long-term deal with their existing club. The one interesting thing about that is we have not seen that outcome occur so far with the likes of Mookie Betts, Francisco Lindor. Neither has signed a long-term deal, and they're kind of part of this new class of really superb young players in the game, and they have not signed those long-term deals yet. So I think that we're seeing those options available to them. I actually like that idea of what we see in the NBA where the players really, to your point, have taken ownership of the league in their own way, where their desires of where they want to play, who they want to play with, and certainly you've seen it up close in the Bay Area, I think it's healthy. I think it's fun for fans. They're able to talk about, hey, where should all these players go together? Wouldn't that be fun to watch this team play? Certainly there are probably some fans in other markets in the NBA that don't love it because maybe they don't feel like that their team has got a very good chance to win the NBA title. But I think in general, superstars drive the interest in the NBA. And I do think to some level, both contractually and from a marketing standpoint, MLB and MLB players can learn a bit from that strategy.
John Morosi, MLB Insider, Fox Sports, MLB Network with us here on 95.7 The Game. Almost a year ago last May, the Supreme Court rolled back PASPA, the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act of the early 90s that essentially prohibited the states outside of Nevada and one or two others from allowing legalized sports betting. Since that time, we almost have 15 states that have legalized sports betting. The leagues themselves are aligning with Vegas in terms of Caesars Palace, MGM for data streaming rights and all this stuff. But I had a question for you. A month or so ago, in Washington, NBC Sports Washington had a broadcast that they ran in conjunction with their Washington Wizards broadcast. Now, on one channel, you could watch the traditional Wizards broadcast, and on the other, you could watch updated lines and point spreads for in-game betting. It was a broadcast dedicated specifically to the gambling angle of the basketball game itself. Do you think Major League Baseball would have a problem if regional coverage allowed something like that? For example, you could watch a Giants game or an A's game, but then on another channel, you could watch the same game with people talking about betting on it.
I think that it's certainly, I don't speak for the commissioner on this at all, but I do look at it this way, that if baseball has a way to monetize this strategy and to look at gaming in a really global way and what it can bring to the game from a standpoint of either revenue streams or fan interest. I think baseball is of the mind that they're willing to permit. I think some of that conversation around the game and market it. I also think that they have to build in the safeguards. And baseball is a very unique strategy because you can sort of have a lot of discriminate moments in the course of the game where you can bet on a particular at bat, et cetera. Baseball allows for those pauses to occur, which I think would create some very unique opportunities for gaming and betting. But I also think you look at the big picture here, MLB has got to find a way to build in the safeguards and certainly make sure that all the appropriate parties, whether it's MLB, the players union, that everybody is made whole by however the pie of revenues is carved up once it's all legal in various jurisdictions. But I think as long as you check those boxes of the various parties being able to get their piece of the pie, if you will, and the safeguards being put in place to ensure the integrity of both the wagering and also the play on the field, I think once those safeguards are put in place and once the economic structure is there, I think that at some point in time, maybe not this year, but I think at some point in time, that broadcast you're describing, I think has a very decent chance of happening in Major League Baseball.
MLB Insider for both Fox Sports and the MLB Network, 95.7 The Game contributor, our good friend John Morosi with us here on 95.7 The Game. John, dynamite stuff as always. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
My pleasure, guys. The spring training is here. I love it. The A's, the first team out on the field working out. So spring training's here, even if Mr. Harper, Mr. Machado have not signed yet. But I'm confident at some point in time, my friends, they will.
Exciting times, no doubt. Thank you, John.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
I will say, for Mariners fans, baseball fans in Oregon, Northern California, spring training couldn't come at a better time. This weather's unacceptable.
Joe, it hailed.
Too many clouds.
It hailed at Pebble Beach. They're finishing the Pro-Am today. Phil Mickelson with a three-shot lead because of hail delays. It was
Hale Irwin.
Hale Irwin was not walking through that door, but hail was falling from the sky. Lowe always says, go to hail. And on Sunday, everybody at Pebble did.
888-957-9570 is the number. You can also hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Billion-dollar idea.
Mm.
Red Zone channel, but for gambling. I'm telling you it right now. And I've told you guys this behind the scenes. If NBC Sports Bay Area ran a secondary broadcast along Warriors games, right? On the Warriors, you know who you're getting. And then there's another broadcast. You're still seeing the game. Exactly the same. But you have graphics running below and on the side, updating you on odds, points, potential prop bets, and you had people commenting specifically on that element of the game. Would you want to watch it? Would you give it a try? 888-957-9570. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Imagine a Giants game. You've got Kruk and Kite. You know what you're getting there. Very bankable. But as you're watching the game, you have the ability to gamble on it. You flip over to another channel, and NBC Sports Bay Area has 40 of them. Right? You fill it up with the same broadcast. You're still watching the game. You're getting everything except different commentary and different analysis. Analysis geared specifically towards the bettor. And it would also help the fantasy player as well, because you'd be dealing with a lot of analytics, a lot of numbers, but you'd also have commentary. For example, a scenario where a team falls down 2-0 in the first, updating the odds in real time and then talking about whether or not a wager would be a good play at that point. This used to be something, and it still kind of is, but everyone's caught on. Watching Warrior games. The Warriors gave up, what, a 25-2 run last night against Phoenix? They're getting their butts kicked in the first. Do you know how many guys love to bet the Warriors in situations like that? That's what in-game betting's all about. Taking a team you like, hoping the other team grabs a lead, the price is adjusted, then you come flying in and make your bet. You get a better price, and hopefully the team can come back. The strategies of betting at different prices throughout the course of the game, that is becoming a very popular element to sports wagering now. Would you want to watch something like that? 888-957-9570. I truly think if you come up with the Red Zone channel, but it's just from a sports betting perspective for football, that would kill. Now, the league's not going to do that yet.
Right.
But that would absolutely kill.
And I think that's perfect, actually, for baseball as much as it is for football, because baseball, we know the biggest problem that younger people have with the sport is it's too slow. So if you had, for example, Buster Posey in the on-deck circle, right when he's getting ready to come into the batter's box, up pop the odds of odds for him to get out, odds for him to get up on base, odds for him to hit a home run.
Extra base hit.
All that stuff.
Will the count go over or under 5.5 pitches?
Right, and you could have those pop up in real time. So if you were a gambler and you wanted to bet on every at-bat, you'd have the ability to do so, and you'd have somebody like yourself saying, well, 71% of Buster's at-bats do go more than 5 pitches, so maybe the over on the pitch count is good here because the pitcher's got control issues. Whatever the analysis is, to have it in real time, it would definitely be attractive.
I think it works too, Joe, because in from the 408, they said, Joe, hey, the AAF, you know, the AAF has in-line gambling. Is so what you're talking about. So if that's one of the things that maybe make this league even be more attractive for the gamblers, they understand we got to be different. So I think baseball, when you talk about baseball's dying, you're talking about an older generation is watching baseball. It's slow, and you know, people want it right now. This would help the pastime. It would actually help time pass by having in, you know, online gambling. But why the TV's on, you got both channels, have those guys there and give you an insight on gambling. Without a doubt, I would watch it.
Like, I get football's perspective on it. I do, because you're the king. You're outrating everyone by a mile. There's really no rush for you to be the first one through the wall, right? You can sit back, focus on your revenue streams. I think it was like $17 billion in revenue from TV last season. It's expected to get to like $27 billion or so by 2027. The NFL is doing fine, right? They're doing fine. But like, where's hockey? Why would you not take advantage of this? There's this new market that's out there that's emerging. There's money to be made. People want to bet. The numbers in New Jersey are staggering, how many people were betting in New Jersey, how much money that state was rolling in. It's staggering. It's hundreds of millions.
And it's been, what, 6 months? It's been legalized or something?
PASPA just got rolled back last May. No one went live that day. It took some time. Yeah. Jersey was one of the first, but it still took a few months. Now, the numbers will probably come back a little bit because football's over. But March Madness is right around the corner. That's going to be huge. Like that's what I don't understand with the Warriors broadcast right now. All right, you got a broadcast. Throw another broadcast out there. People cannot get enough Warriors coverage sitting there breaking it down from that perspective. And you can incorporate the daily fantasy component to it, too. Like right now, you don't need to go full in on gambling, but I'm surprised the non-NFL sports have not stepped up and been like, this is our wheelhouse. Like MLB stepping up on this, getting together with the sports books to offer those types of odds. All right, here comes Buster. Over under 5.5 pitches this at bat. Will he foul off a pitch? Yes, -120. No, +110. Odds on a triple, a double, a home run, a single, right, a walk, hit by pitch, all that stuff. And as it's happening in real time, will he get on base? Yes, even money. He's down 0-1. Yes, +210. It just keeps moving, right? You have that taking part.
Can they keep up that quick? Would that be
create algorithms?
Yeah, okay. I don't know if pitch by pitch yet they can, but just certainly batter by batter, they already have that ability.
You could create algorithms that, and then you'll look to beat those algorithms. You'll study a team and some players specifically, and then you'll be able to beat those numbers. And then the numbers will have to get better, and they'll adjust.
Funny story,
the guy that the Dallas Mavericks just hired, Haralabob Vulgaris, right? Bob Vulgaris.
Oh, they hired him?
Yeah. Mark Cuban brought him in. Now, anyone who knows Vulgaris, he's awesome. He's at Haralabob on Twitter. Great follow. Bitcoin, all this stuff. Very smart dude. Poker player, but basketball is his sport. Loves basketball. Didn't play professional basketball, but Bob knows basketball as well as anybody. And Bob made millions betting basketball. He found a glitch in the system. Second half over-unders, right? So what a team would do, a sports book would do this. This was back years ago when this stuff wasn't all that popular. Say the over-under for a basketball game is 200 points. Will the teams combine to score 200 or more points? Yes, no. You bet over or under. Back then, it wasn't sophisticated. So they would put 200 out, and no matter what happened in the first half, they'd put out a second half line of like 100. Vulgaris noticed that this was an unbelievably inefficient way to do this. Players get hurt, things change, game flow, certain guys get hot, you know, numbers should be altering with that, and they weren't. So he would study these numbers, and he would bet a fortune on these second half totals, and he made millions. Millions. I don't even think he bets basketball anymore. Like, he's just done with it because, you know, he made his money, and he's on to other things, cryptocurrency and all that. But he's so good with basketball, Mark Cuban hired him to come in and help evaluate talent. Point being, there are inefficiencies to be exploited. The sports books would put this out. The guys who truly study it would be able to make money off that. Right now, Buster Posey coming up would probably have the same pricing as the guy in front of him and the guy behind him, but against a different pitcher, that's all going to change. You studying that would give you an opportunity to win. Now, we're really going down the rabbit hole here, but in terms of coverage, like, who's to say you couldn't just throw a bunch of guys in a room right now without the broadcast even on and just stream it on Twitter talking about the baseball game or talking about betting basketball in game.
Right.
The fact that NBC Sports Washington, whatever they're called, did it for the Wizards, I'm just surprised you're not seeing it in other locations. Case in point here, where you have multiple networks.
And you've got the technology, and you've got people who are interested in it. I think what you said about the Daily Fantasy is the most intriguing part for me in the short run, because it's not been legalized yet in California, so I'm sure the networks would shy away from the gambling aspects while it's not yet legal. But fantasy sports is legal, so you could certainly utilize DraftKings and whatever other site you would want, FanDuel and whatnot. They could actually be sponsors. They could be the ones who drive this content, knowing that a lot of it's going to cycle back to their site with the fantasy updates.
Today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet. It's up on the website, 957thegame.com. Did you watch any AAF games this weekend? Loneil, you had it in your email last night. You were watching. You were up on AAF.
I didn't watch a lot of it, Joe, but I did. Me and Dibs last week, we talked about it, and he said it was a hard pass. I told him I'd have a drive by, and you know, kind of that smoker where you just drop some heat and keep moving, and you keep walking. So I definitely dropped a couple smokers and wanted to see it and watch it. to also watch the ESPN, watched all the highlights. You saw Trent Richardson score a touchdown. I was intrigued with it. I wanted to see what it's going to do, see if it's going to stick around. And I think it will. I know me and Dibs are in different churches, different planets. I'm totally on this. Doesn't think it's going to last. On the other hand, I think it will. I think they put it in a great time. It's right after the NFL. It's not competing with the NFL. It's not competing with the NCAA football. It's not competing with anything. So I believe that you got some players, some coaches, some big names enough. I think this thing's going to stick around for a while.
Did you watch any this weekend?
No, I didn't watch a scrap of it. I didn't intentionally steer clear. I actually was out at one of my favorite watering holes, shout out Montclair Golf Course, and you know, I had control of the remote, so I could have actually put it on, but I was enamored with Zion Williamson and that Duke-Virginia game. That was spectacular. And then I got home, and
you got to mention the block.
The block was unbelievable.
I'm going to shout out the block. Hey, if you have not seen this yet, the block he had on a three-point shot, I've never seen anything like
that. He closes out on the guy from inside the key. He takes two steps from under the hoop, one step, and then he jumps off one foot
like
and extends
Superman.
His arm. It was like a Go-Go Gadget arm, yeah. Inspector Gadget. He goes out and just swats it clean away off a jumper from the three-point line.
From a geometry perspective, as you draw lines, algebra, all that stuff, trigonometry, I don't know what it is. I didn't do well in any of them. You should not be able to do what he did. Like, you just draw the line, you're like, no. Force times mass, acceleration.
And he blocked it mid-hand. It wasn't like he got a tip on it, a fingertip. He simply erased it.
The dude can leap. I mean, it's like one bound, one leap. He's like freaking the Bionic Man. I mean, the guy, you see him throw his head, hit the rim. I mean, the guy is he's a leaper. He's got some spring. He's a jumper. I did happen to see that. You know, it's the second time they've, you know, beat Virginia. You saw that he runs out, and I think he's blocking it too. It would be to the left side of the court. Totally seen that. In any game, swats that. Nice stuff.
250-pounder to be able to move like that.
It's amazing.
That's why.
Reminds of me back in my day. The spring.
Well, boy, I mean,
I would not. Does not remind me.
Hurry.
No, reminds me of the Knicks losing 16 in a row. That's what it reminds me of.
There actually was a guy who reminded me of you on TV yesterday. You probably caught some of this, Joe, because you're a bit of a rugby fan. But the Six Nations rugby, they were showing it on NBC Sports Bay Area. And I'll have to find a picture of the guy. But France has a, I think he's a scrum half, number three for France. He could be your twin brother. And I was imagining you as a rugby player watching this guy go to work out there. He's about 5'10", 5'11", 240. Much like the weight that you played it. This guy was laying some lumber on some people. There was a couple collisions where it was like, my God. And I thought about you because this guy had the same kind of neck.
Really?
And the same traps and the same shoulders. Guy's a monster.
Maybe I'll get in shape and go play some rugby, Joe. Would you come out and watch me?
You'd be awesome at it.
Awesome.
You'd be unbelievable at it. You were a fullback, and you say you were a really good linebacker.
Great.
Those guys tackle. Those guys know how
to
tackle.
They do.
Like, they wrap, and they drag you down. You don't get by them. You would have been, You take some NFL players, man. You guys would be great at rugby.
Oh, my God. I got to watch. I got to see the guy. I got to look him up, see who it is. But
back to the AAF.
Yes,
though.
Please.
Like, I stepped in and watched some of it.
Yeah.
Because I saw all of the excitement on social. I pop into Twitter. Yeah. A lot of people talking about it. I don't see it working.
No?
And I don't think people want it to work, to be honest with you. I know the AAF wants it to work, but it's like saying how if you could, you'd have pizza for dinner every night or whatever your favorite food is. No one would actually want to do that because then you would just ruin your favorite food. See, the beauty of the NFL, what separates it from everything else, is the sense of urgency combined with the supply and demand economic factor. You get one a week. That's it. The most you will get to see your Niners play is one time a week. Sometimes you don't even get that because they're on the bye. Every game means something. Every game gives you a week to think about it. And every game gives you a week to talk about what you just saw, as well as what you're hoping to see in the future. That's what makes the NFL better than everything else. There is this sense of anticipation, this sense of urgency. We talk about Thursday Night Football watering down the product. Yeah, maybe a bit. But for your own team, the reality is, no, you get one a week at most. Baseball starts on opening day.
Yeah.
I ride the bike from here home, and I go past all these restaurants on my way past the park, and there are people in orange everywhere. They're drinking. They're celebrating.
Oh, yeah.
It's opening day.
Oh, yeah.
And then guess what happens?
What?
Game two of 162, and there's not as much buzz. And then there's game three and game four. And then you hear all this commentary about how, well, you can't win a World Series in April, but you can lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I can't win a World Series in this month, but I can lose it. That's exciting. And then you get into May. And then June, and you start hearing about the trade deadline, and then there's a break, and then you hear about the dog days. And by this point, 60%, 70% of the league's already done. I mean, we already knew the NL last year, how far in advance. The AL is all wrapped up. It was done. That's the problem. That's the big problem for the AAF is that people don't want football every weekend. People like the fact that it's gone away. You never admit this. You only know this subconsciously, that it's very important that football is now gone because you miss it.
You do miss it, Joe. And I
hate to do this to you. We are all out of time, but I'll give you time on the other end.
Okay. He didn't
that
laugh.
Was unnecessary. He didn't,
oh,
that
no,
was
no.
not
he
meant
laugh.
To be rude.
He said he hated to do it. I loved it, which is why Morosi punctuated the segment.
Glenn Azubuki in studio with us next here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.